Glory to God. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke. Turn in your Bibles to Luke. We had some little prayer cards. This one was worn out. We'll have to make up some more of them. I want to use the letter P off of this. Glory to God. So that we can be, and we want to talk about being persistent in prayer. Being persistent in prayer. Glory to God. We're going to look at Luke. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. First of all, we're going to start with Luke, the 18th chapter. And when we're talking about prayer, prayer is an activity that every Christian should engage in on a regular basis. Think about it. It's an activity that we are to engage in on a regular basis. Prayer is our communication with God, and our persistence in prayer gives us direct connection to God. We've got a direct connection to God, directly to Him. You know, a lot of times the people that they work in different offices, in management positions, or different types of things like that, is when you call them, you usually get a receptionist or somebody who handles the phone, and they can transfer you over to them, whoever that person is. But then sometimes they will say, this is my direct number. It comes directly to me. See, in the past, in the old covenant, the people did not have a direct number to God. They had to go through the prophet in order to get to God.
Amen.
But when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn from the top to the bottom, and we was given direct access to God. So we did not have to wait for the prophet to come in. We did not have to get on his itinerary. We had access to God.
Amen.
Direct access to God. So let's look at this. Luke, the 18th chapter, verse number 1. And he, being Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So notice this. He spoke a parable, and the object of the parable was to show you that men should always pray and not faint. That means they should always be in communication with God and never giving up.
Amen.
Never losing faith, never losing hope. So that is the purpose of the parable that he gave to them. That was the purpose. Now let's look at the parable. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now notice this. Notice the purpose of this parable. The purpose of this parable is to demonstrate what you get when you are persistent in prayer, when you are persistent in your faith and not giving up. That was the purpose of this. This widow woman, no matter how many times she had come before this unjust judge, no matter how many times it seems like she was ignored, she still continued to come. Glory to God. And it got to a point where he realized, unless I do something, she will continue to come. So he made a decision to listen to her, to respond to her. Now realize it's important for us to know the purpose of this parable. It's not to just that we're bothering God. But the purpose, Jesus stated it before he gave it, the purpose is to for us to realize that we should always pray and not faint or give up. In other words, we should be persistent in our prayer life. And see, a lot of times when we think about prayer, we think about we're going to ask God for something.
Amen.
But that's not just prayer. That's just one means of prayer. It means that we should have a consistent relationship or communication or dialogue that we're going on with God. Prayer should not be something that we only use in a case of an emergency. Prayer should not be a little glass placed over a button and say, only in case of emergency are we to press that. But unfortunately, we use it as such. Well, I tried everything I could try. I guess I better go and pray about it. That's the mistake.
That's the mistake.
You need to start praying about it first. Before you start anything. Say, God, is this something that you want me to do? God, how do you want me to deal with this? And say, when you're on a regular communication going back and forth, it's no big deal. But see, notice this. They say men are to always pray. That means we should always approach everything we do in our lives with prayer first. Before we do anything, we cover it with prayer.
Amen.
Why? Because we know that the enemy is going to come in and we're going to have to resist him. And see, if we haven't covered it in prayer and we venture out, that means when the enemy comes in, we're going to be getting to wonder and doubt. No, was that, should I have done this? Was I really supposed to do this? Did I make a mistake? He's already got you half defeated. Half the battle is already won with you because you don't know whether or not you were supposed to do that.
Amen.
But when you're a persistent in prayer and you know what God tells you to do, it doesn't matter. You can expect the enemy coming. You know he's going to come, so you shouldn't be surprised. Oh, but I was expecting you. But glory to God, I'm ready for you. Glory to God. Do you realize that the devil is supposed to be running from us?
Amen.
And not we running from him? Glory to God. Every time he sees us coming, he should be running. Glory to God. Why? Because we got power.
Amen.
Glory to God. And God would already prepare us. So we need to make sure that we always cover everything in prayer before we venture out into doing anything. And that we don't give up. We're persistent in communicating with God. And sometimes we're just going before him and just worshiping and praising him. God, I'm just thank you. God, you know, I don't want anything. I'm just not coming to anything. I just want to just come and tell you just how glad I am that you count me worthy to call me a son of yours. I am just so happy about that. I'm just so grateful about that. I'm just so thankful for all that you've done, God. I don't want anything. I just want to just say thank you. Have you gotten a phone call? For somebody you haven't talked to in a long time, they call you on the phone. Or some people that they regularly call you. And they're calling for something. And they're just calling and say, you know what? I'm not calling for anything. I just want to call and just say, thank you. I just want to call and say, I'm glad to know you. I'm just going to call because you've been so nice to me. That you've been so good. I just want to say, have a good day. Glory to God.
Amen.
Have a nice day. Go and get a car. Buy a car. And put it in the mail. And send it to somebody. And say, I just want to say, I was thinking about you. And I want you to know that I appreciate you. Have a great day. And it's just a regular day. Think about that.
Think about
it. It's just a regular day.
Just regular.
But then it'll become a special day.
Amen.
Glory to God. Making a difference in somebody's life. Glory to God. Amen. Being a blessing to them. So we should always pray. We should always be in fellowship with God. Every day of our life.
Yes.
In fellowship with God.
Yes.
Talking to him. God, what do you want me to do today? We've already told you about one of the first things you do in the morning time. God, how can I help you today?
Amen.
What do you have for me to do today? What's on our agenda today, God? Glory to God. What's on our agenda today? Well, you got an appointment at 1 o'clock, you're going to be going to lunch, and you're going to meet someone, and they're going to be standing in line, and they're not going to have money for lunch. Mm-hmm. And I want you to take care of it.
Amen.
Glory to God. And you say, God, I need somebody to take care of my lunch. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Anything that God asks you to do,
yes,
He'll provide you a way to do it.
Amen.
And see, we miss out on His blessing because when He asks us to do something, first thing we think about, if we're not careful, we say, I can't do that. But once God tells you something, you say, glory to God. God's going to enable me to do that.
Enable, yes.
He's going to provide me with the means that I need to be able to do that. Because He would never ask you to do something that you cannot do.
Amen.
But glory to God, you can do all things through Christ that gives you strength. But this widow woman, she was persistent. And notice it says, day and night she came to Him.
Amen.
So day and night, we should be praying. I want you to turn over to Psalms. Psalms 55. Day and night, notice that. Day and night she came to Him. Turn over to Psalms 55, verse 16. Notice that. Day and night she came to Him, calling out to Him. Psalms 55 and 16. Notice this. It says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Verse 17. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Morning,
morning,
noon,
and at night,
I will cry unto Him, and He will hear my voice.
Amen.
Glory to God. You know, it's something when God said, oh, I haven't talked to you in a long time. It's good to hear your voice. Amen. Glory to God. Because we spend so much time to Him. So look at there. And you notice David prayed three times.
Three.
A day. So that means we should spend at least three times a day in prayer. At least three times a day where we're talking to God. At least. That's the minimum. Otherwise, you will be a stranger to Him. You won't recognize Him. But glory to God, we need to be persistent in our prayer life.
Amen.
Praying and talking to God. Praying and talking to God. Communicating with Him. Getting your instructions for your day. Okay, God, what am I supposed to do today? Glory to God. And you know, you hear some people make the comment, this is not my day. That's because you didn't get instructions for it. Because when you got your instructions for the day, nothing surprises you.
Nothing
catches you off guard.
Amen.
Glory to God. And when the enemy comes in, glory to God, you can recognize it. Glory to God. Prayer. Morning, evening, and noontime, pray. You cry out to God. One of the things when I used to have like an hour lunch break, I told you this before. One of the things I used to do is, a lot of times, I didn't want to go out to lunch with anybody. Oh, you being antisocial. No, I want some quiet time by myself. I would go out to lunch with other people sometimes. But a lot of times, I would go by myself. I'll go into a quiet place and get me and my Bible. And we'll just read and eat and just fellowship with God. Glory to God. Sometimes I would go out to a restaurant. I'll sit down. I have my book. And we just read and fellowship with God. Glory to God. Spending time with God. Glory to God. Don't leave God out. Praise God.
Amen.
You can also use that as a time where you fast. Fast a lunch. When you're normally eating, you're just spending time with God. Glory to God. Amen. You say, but I get hungry. You need to be hungry for the Word. You need to be hungry for God. You need to be hungry for God. All right, morning, noon, and night. Always praying. We should always be spending time in prayer. We should have a persistent conversation, a dialogue with God. A time where we know Him and He knows us. We know what He wants to do in every situation because we become friends with Him. We know who He is. Glory to God. I want you to look at another verse. Turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. No, before we go to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, let's go to Philippians. You just keep on flipping. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 6. Notice what it says. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't have concerns or worry about anything. Now, wait a minute. Do you mean that we can get to a place that we don't worry about anything? Yes, we can. That's what the Bible says. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. Then, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So, everything. We should not worry about anything. We should not be fretting about anything. We should have a confident assurance in everything that we do.
Yes.
That we should approach every situation or circumstance and thing we do with confidence in knowing that we're going to be successful. Amen. Does not mean we won't have trouble. Does not mean we won't have problems. It means that when a situation or problem or something come up, we will always come out victoriously.
Amen.
Glory to God. We'll always come out victoriously. Why? Because we've already covered it in prayer. We've already got God's word on it. Glory to God. No matter what may happen, no matter what comes up, we are persistent in our prayer life. We're talking to God. We're fellowshipping Him. We're communicating Him. Why are we afraid to talk with God? I'm not afraid to talk to God, you may say. Then why don't you spend more time talking to Him? Why don't you spend more time fellowshipping Him? Why don't you spend more time communicating with Him? Glory to God. We can get to a place where we don't have to worry about anything. We can get to a place where we don't have to be afraid of anything because we've developed such a confidence and relationship with God that we know Him.
Amen.
The Bible says, they that know their God, they shall do exploits. I mean, great and mighty things. Get to the point that we know the heart of God. We know God's situation. We know His circumstance. We know in every situation that we face what God would do. Because we got a fellowship with Him. Glory to God. And we know that He abides in us. Glory to God. So we should always be talking with God. Always be fellowshipping with Him. Always communicating with Him. What does Mark... Let's go to Matthew. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Say, how should I pray? Matthew, the sixth chapter. What do I need to do in my prayer? Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Glory to God. Notice this. Matthew, the sixth chapter, verse 5. It says, and when thou prayest, this is Jesus. He's talking to the disciples. It says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
Amen.
So when you're praying, you're not praying to be seen, to make a scene. Glory to God. But you are talking to God. You know, a lot of times when people say, you ask them to come up and pray before a group of people or open up a prayer or do a invocation, they say, oh, I can't do that, I don't want to do that. Well, you just think about it. This is all you're asked to do. All you're asked to do is talk to God and let other people in on your conversation.
Amen.
That's all you're doing. You're talking to God and letting other people to hear your conversation. So if they're good friends with Him, it's just like talking with your best friend. So why should you be afraid or nervous to let other people hear you talking to your best friend? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now remember, this is just one form of method in which you pray. Enter into thy closet. You should have a place that you go to for prayer. You should have a place that you go to for prayer. I don't know if any of you seen the, what was it, the war room. And the one that the lady in there who was talking about prayer, she had a room that she would go in, that she would spend time in prayer. That was her war room. She would go in there, and that is where she would spend time in prayer. And the lady who she was discipling, she was telling about that room. She said, this is where I go in when I pray. Glory to God. You need to have your war room that you go into battle. What's this Bible say? The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down every imagination and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Glory to God. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, there's some times in our life when we need to shut the door on everything else and get before God. No matter what it is, shut the door and get before God. Doesn't matter if the phone rings, doesn't matter if anything else, you need to have a time when you say, God, it's our time now.
Yes.
It is our time. You need to have that time where you get before God, that you spend time with Him. Pray to the Father, which is in secret, and that Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Glory to God. One of the churches we used to attend to, the pastor said, the power of the church is prayer. Glory to God. And he was talking about the power plant of the church are those that's in the church that prays. He said, when you see what happens on Sunday morning, that is a result of the prayers that has gone forth. Glory to God. One of the ministries I used to be a part of was they call it altar prayer ministers. And one of the churches that we used to attend, they would have altar prayer ministers that would come up at the end of the service, and they would pray with people for invitation or discipleship or any problems that they was going through. They needed prayers. They would come up there, and we would just minister to them whatever they need. Glory to God. And it was great because a lot of times, you will give the invitation, and if anyone come up for salvation, the pastor will lead them into salvation and send them off. Then at the end, they will have a group of people that will come up, and they will just altar prayer ministers, and we just stand up there waiting for anyone that needs anything with prayer. And we will have a series of little books or anything like that we could use to give it to the soul in their life and pray for different things. Because a lot of times it was hard, or some people was afraid to go before the pastor, but they will come up at the church and begin to pray for them. So how many times have you prayed for somebody? How many times did you reach out and you enter into prayer on behalf of somebody else? Where you took their hand and said, let's go before God. But see, you can't take them before someone that you're not comfortable with. Because that will make you feel uncomfortable. But when you're comfortable with God, you have no problem in introducing them to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 7, but when thou prayest, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not, verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. And this is what some people say, the reason why they don't pray about certain things, because if God knows everything, He knows what I need, so why do I need to ask Him? Because He tells you to. He tells you to. Matthew 7 says you have not, or James says that you have not, because you ask not. And you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. You don't ask in the proper and the right way. But even though that God knows what you need, He still tells you to ask Him. Glory to God. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven. Glory to God. We pray to our Father who art in heaven and lives on the inside of us. Glory to God. Who takes up residence on the inside of us. So God is always there. One songwriter said he's just one prayer away. In other words, all you have to do is call on him. Glory to God. He is always there with you. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's been given a name that's above every name. That even at the mention of the name of Jesus, demons will tremble. Glory to God. Thou shalt not use the name of thy God in vain. Glory to God. He's been given a name. There's power in the name. Do you know in some places they don't want you to mention Jesus? Because there's power in that name. Glory to God. And when you don't know what else to say, just say Jesus. Jesus. Glory to God. Just say Jesus. Glory to God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Days of heaven upon the earth. Glory to God. Days of heaven upon the earth. We are to occupy until he come. Amen. Glory to God. We are to occupy till he come. What have you been doing to occupy until he come? Glory to God. Give us this day our daily bread. The importance of having a daily fellowship with him. Now I can ask you, you don't have to raise your hand, but probably, most likely, everybody in here has already had something to eat this morning or something to drink. What about the word? Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 4:4, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. Glory to God. God has your daily bread for you. Not just your food, but the word. He has a word for you every day. He has a word for you. Glory to God. And then if you leave out without your word, then you don't know what to do for that day. Yes. Glory to God. So get your word for the day so that you will know what to do and he will make it through the day. Glory to God. Your word for the day. Glory to God. Now we have little books, our daily bread. Give you the opportunity where you can read something every day from the word of God. Glory to God. Give us this day our daily bread. In other words, Father, I need the bread that I need for this day. Remember the children of Israel? They had manna that would fall down every day. Fresh manna. And think about that. The manna that came down, they could only get one day's worth. Except for the day before the Sabbath. They could only get one day's worth. Why? Because then it would become stale. Well, not necessarily stale, but it was degraded and would not last over. That was teaching them that every day they had to go and seek God. Every day you had to come before God. God wants you to come before him every day. But so often we forget all about him. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. Don't you realize that if you have anything in your heart against others or somebody else, that it will hinder your prayer life. It will hinder you receiving from God. And one of the things my mom used to say, you might as well just go ahead and forgive them because it's doing you more harm than it is them. And notice that it says nothing about what they did or whether it was right or wrong, but it says for you to forgive them. I know just on the television show, some of you may have seen about a situation where it happened where a person was accused of taking a life for the priest. And one of the things that said when his brother came up and they were interviewing him, and his brother said, I will never forgive him. Now that's a hard situation that he was going through, but he said he would never forgive him. But you don't want to be in a position. Now, I can't say I relate to him, can't relate to where he's coming from. I can just only know what the Bible says, that you have to forgive people, no matter what they do. Because if you don't forgive them, it'll end up hurting you. Forgive them. Remember Jesus. Jesus does not ask us to do anything that he has not done for us. Remember when he was on Calvary's cross? And what he said? He said, Father, forgive them.
Yes.
For they don't know what they're doing. And they crucified him. And you know that through crucifixion, really you die from suffocation, from the weight of your body on your lungs, and it's hard to breathe. And yet, he was talking and saying, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. So why do you have a problem in forgiving people? Oh, you don't know what they've done. No, I don't know what they've done. But I know what they did to Jesus. And I know what he did. So you've got to forgive them. So if your blessings seems like they're not flowing the way they should be, one of the first areas you should look in, do I have anything in my heart against anybody? Is there anybody that I need to correct the wrong that I've made? Because, see, you know, a lot of times people do you wrong. They don't think anything about it. But you have a root of bitterness against them. And they walk around, and every time you see them, they're so happy and jolly, and it just burns you even more. After they did me, and they're jumping around and bouncing around like that. Glory to God. But you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Don't hold on to it. Say, God, I forgive them. And talking about, they're your enemies. And see, this is what the thing about it is. Notice what the Bible tells you. What does the Bible say you do for your enemies? Pray for them. Bless them. Do good toward them. I'll give you an idea. You may not like it, but it's a good idea for your enemies. Those that you don't like. Well, I don't want to put it that way. Those that you have a problem with, that may have wronged you, find out and say, God, what can I do to bless them? Think about it. What can I do to bless them? Buy them lunch. Buy them dinner. Buy them some new clothes. Give them something. Send them a gift. Send them your favorite outfit. Oh, no, don't go there. Don't go there. Yeah. Send them your favorite outfit. Glory to God. You say that's a hard thing to do. But it will bless you. Glory to God. You have to bless your enemies. You don't believe me? In my Bible, let's turn right. You don't have to, you may not have to turn there. But let's go right over to Matthew the 5th chapter, verses 43. Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 43. It says, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, whoa. That's what the Bible tells you to do. That's what God tells you to do. That is righteousness. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly before him. That's what the Bible tells you to do. Glory to God. To forgive and to pray for them. Glory to God. Why do we have a problem with forgiveness? Because we keep being reminded and we think about how wrong or what they did to you. Don't you think that every time Jesus sees his hands, he's reminded of what they did to him? You know what? He doesn't think about what they did to him. He thinks about what he has done for you. Think about that now. He doesn't see it as what they did to him. But he looks at it as what he has done for you. Look what the Lord has done. Glory to God. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Look what the Lord has done. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look what the Lord has done. You got a few more moments. But learn how to walk in forgiveness. Learn how to walk in love. Now, P stands for persistent, and you're looking at the word prayer as an acrostic. P stands for persistent. We need to be persistent in prayer. Men should always pray and not faint. We should be consistent in prayer. But one of the other things is, we have to be ready to pray. In other words, we have to be in a position to pray. We've got to have our lines of communication with God open up. We cannot let somebody else hinder us from getting before God. We can't let the evil that someone's done or the wrong that someone's done cause us not to be able to get to God. God is always there for us. Glory to God. So how faithful have you been in talking with the Lord? Are you relying on the prayers of mama and daddy and everybody else to sustain you? Are you living your life off the prayers of others? Because God expects you to speak for yourself. You are of age, so yet you can come before Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You control your own life, your own destiny. Don't let the circumstances in your life dictate your end result. Let the Word of God lead you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So be it. Praise God. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. Always spending time in prayer with God. As you walk throughout the day, things that you do, you just pray. Keep God involved in your life in everything that you do. Asking Him for direction. Try to take the steps of a righteous man ordered by the Lord. God has ordered your steps each day of your life. And if you don't know what step to take, then you can make a misstep. And that can cause you to stumble and fall. When you listen to Him, and when you follow Him, you know exactly what you need to do and which way to go. And the way that leads to Him is narrow. Glory to God. But you can make it through because He will lead you. Glory to God. He will lead you. He will lead you. Glory to God. You don't have to stumble and fall. He will lead you. Talk to Him. He's always available for you.